do a brief review of what we discussed a couple of weeks
back. I don't know. Let me...
So, what section in third chapter are we discussing? Can we close the door or better? Chapter 2 weeks back. So after discussing the Karmakanda section, right, we discussed it like that with the Karmakanda section, you know, what's the process to follow and prescribed duties and how by pleasing the demigods they will provide the necessary supplies so the man can live happily in his life and eventually go back to Godhead, right? So after that section is over, now Krishna is talking about 17 to 29, the purpose of duties for attaining self-realization and also why self-realized souls perform duties, right? So 17 to 29, that's a section. So we covered a couple of verses last time. So can somebody summarize like what we discussed from 17 on 17? First we started with some analysis, right? So we started some, we did some analysis, right? About, you know, who needs to do prescribed duties. Right, some of the points we discussed. What are some of the points?
So, Mataji, first point was people who do their prescribed duty, who wants to be happy, but
generalize
people, they don't care about the happiness. They don't need. And second purpose is to be purified, but they are already pure, so they don't need it. And third point was to Krishna.
Demigods.
So, yeah. Okay, demigods. So, demigods are not already happy with self, right?
Self, yeah.
And they don't have material desires as well. And they don't need fire spirit,
okay. Because of all of this,
the
self-realized souls, so self-realized souls, they don't need, they are not bound to do prescribed duties, as mentioned in the Vedas. So that's what leads into the next section, which is like 17 to 29, where Krishna is saying how, why self-realized souls, they don't have any duty, right? If you read the 17th verse, but for one who takes pleasure in the self, whose human life is one of self-realization and is satisfied in the self only, fully satiated, for him there is no duty, right? Then verse number 18, a self-realized man has no purpose to fulfill in the discharge of his prescribed duties, nor has he any reason not to perform such work, nor has he any need to depend on any other living being. So what was the main point we discussed in this verse? Like, you know, he doesn't need to perform his duties, but at the same time he doesn't need to not perform his duties. We talked about some principle, right? Attachment and aversion.
Yeah. He's neither seeking it nor when it comes, he does see the opposite.
Yes.
So it's like, okay, if it comes, I'll do it.
Yeah. So it's not like, you know, we do our duties because we are attached for some gains. Like, you know, I want some results, or, you know, I want to get money and things like that. But you must be can do it. Right? So that is, we are doing, huh?
Nothing.
It's up to you. One reason is we do because of attachment, right? That's one reason, because of sense gratification. Other reason, people sometimes don't do their duties because of aversion. Okay, I don't want to go to, you know, Microsoft, or I don't want to go to this place or McDonald's where I work, you know, where people are not good, or, you know, work is not good, because of aversion. Krishna says actually both are not good. Quitting duties because of attachment, quitting duties because of aversion are not good. So that's why he's saying here, self-realized person, he doesn't have either attachment or aversion for duties. At the same time, he is not dependent on any other living being because he is dependent directly on the Supreme One. So he's not obliged to demigods. Because which is one of the reasons why his duties have to be performed, right? To please the demigods, so they give the rains and everything back, so he can live happily here. So that's the reason self-realized soul is not obliged to perform his duties as mentioned in the Vedas. So the conclusion Krishna gives in 19th verse, therefore, without being attached to the fruits of activities, one should act as a matter of duty, for by working without attachment, one attains supreme. So Krishna is saying, ultimately, you know, self-realized soul also doesn't have to do duty, but, you know, one who is in the path of self-realization, or even if he is self-realized, one should act as a matter of duty. This is similar to that verse, Karmani or Vadikarasve. Right, Krishna says, you are right to perform your duty, right? But at the same time, you should not be attached to inaction. Because what happens by working without attachment, so that means by detached work, one gradually gets renounced and eventually attains the supreme. So essentially Nishkama Karma Yoga that leads to renunciation and transcendental knowledge, eventually to the Supreme Lord. So there in the purport we discussed about one important point. Does anybody recollect, you know? So what is, you know, deeper understanding of working without attachment? Attachment, without
offer
attachment is a...
Offer your work as
a... Yeah. So one is like tangibly offering the results to Krishna, right? That is working without attachment to result. But what was the deeper meaning, deeper thing we discussed actually? I think you got it, right? Which is working on behalf of Krishna. That means we are not even attached to the type of activity we want to do. Sometimes we are attached to the activity and say, oh, results I will give to Krishna. But still we are at, that's like, you know, one level of Nishkama Karma Yoga. It's all still stuck on mantra.
But when you say on behalf of Krishna, means of Krishna you are doing it, right?
On behalf of Krishna means like whatever Krishna orders, yes. Whatever is ordered by Krishna, you will do.
You don't have emotion to the
world. Exactly, yes. See, for example, like somebody may get an instruction that he has to work, or somebody may get an instruction, you have to quit work and stay home, take care of children, right? So if I am not, one way is to give the results, like let's say if I am working, I give the money to Krishna. But if let's say if I don't like that activity of staying home and taking care, right? So I am not working on behalf of Krishna. So working, so that's, we can read these lines, right? Last three lines of the first paragraph. To be a good man or a non-violent man is a personal attachment. So there is something on behalf of me. But to act on behalf of the Supreme is to act without attachment for the result. That means whatever is ordered by Krishna or spiritual master, if you execute it, that is in a deeper sense working without attachment to the result.
But how do you define what you are doing on behalf of Krishna? Because you could say, look, I don't want to stay home. Then you go back to work. Then you could say, I'm doing this also on behalf of Krishna. I mean, or if you don't like Microsoft, then you go join some other company.
So that's why it's so when we say behalf of Krishna, so we should have a checkpoint, you know. It's not just our mental thing. It should be either, you know, if you don't from the scriptures, Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, or from the spiritual master, or from the senior devotees. So they should tell, guide us, you know, this is your service to Krishna. Eventually our spiritual master will tell us based on our nature, you do this right now, you join work, or you know, you quit work, or whatever it is. But staying in that position and executing that service, that leads to perfection. Now sometimes we keep jumping, right? That's going to come later on. The Krishna says,
so
you know, we should
have to always seek guidance from that spiritual master.
Yes, correct. So spiritual master is like a transparent representative of the Supreme Lord. So it's like a via media. So he knows what Supreme Lord wants of us. At the same time, he offers our service back to the Supreme Lord. So we don't directly serve Krishna. He accepts the service from us and offers it to Krishna, at the same time mercy comes through him. So we first surrender to Special Master, and that surrender is accepted by Krishna.
From the scriptures,
yes. We can get the understanding, but in order for, like, you know, complete realization. Because the thing is, like, we may get it theoretically, but always, you know, our mind is our enemy. So, you know, we try to submit to instructions which we like, the part of the Gita which we like, the part of the Gita we don't like, we don't want to follow. So that's what, you know, we pick and choose what we want, right? But when we have a person, that's why, you know, actually Super Soul is all within us, is guiding us, right? That person is the Sarvasya Chaham Bhuta Sarvesha. Supreme Lord is guiding from within. But how many times do we listen to Him, right? So that's why Spiritual Master is coming as an external representative of the Supreme Soul. So for Him, we cannot say no. Not me, like we are helping all of you, but mostly here it's Harivilas Prabhu, who is the temple president. He is, like, you know, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, and he is a bona fide representative of Guru Parampara. So, you know, many devotees, you know, like family issues or work issues, so many people they, and Prabhu has so much time to discuss with everyone. He's very much experienced as well and very, very Krishna conscious. So he can guide, you know, based on situation. Okay, in this case, so many people sometimes, you know, they lost job. They said, you know, Prabhu, I'm not getting job, I have to maybe move back. Then he said, no, you stay here, you try, you get it. So, you know, he gives that confidence, and he knows what is best for them. So they eventually they got the job, they stayed back, like that. Otherwise, you know, we have devotees who can, for small things, they can generally guide, like that. So I think we discussed that, right? Yeah, again, the last three lines of the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, a Krishna conscious person has no attachment for the result, but acts on behalf of Krishna alone. He engages in all kinds of activities, but is completely non-attached. So at the same time, Krishna consciousness is not inactivity, right? It's full of activities, but activities for Krishna. So we will continue with today's section from the 20th verse. So now Krishna is going to give an example of who has attained perfection by performing their duties. Like, you know, 19th verse Krishna is saying, right, by working without attachment one attains the Supreme. So now Krishna is going to give two examples actually of a person who perfected their life by performing duties perfectly. One is King Janaka, and the next one is a guest. We'll see.
Yes, I have a question about the previous. So what is the position of love for family in the whole of the Gita context? Like, love for wife, kin, children, family, I mean, there's only one love, which is love for Krishna, there's nothing else. Is that the correct characterization of Gita?
It's not complete. That's true that eventually, you know, we should be seeing Krishna in everything, but at the same time Krishna includes everything. So wife, children, everyone, they are not apart from Krishna. Seeing them apart from Krishna makes it material. If you see anything separate from Krishna, that's Maya or material. But if you see that connected to Krishna, then we will use them in service to Krishna. Like, for example, wife and children, right? Like, children, okay, we can say, oh, kids are, you know, for my enjoyment, you know, I want to cherish, they laugh, they smile, giggle, you know, they make me happy, and eventually they'll earn job, they'll give me money, they'll, you know, protect me in my old age. Or, you know, putra, you know, he's going to deliver me, you know, he's going to do the pinda, and that's the conception, that's why they have sons, right? So that's all material conception. But, okay, I have, this child is a gift of Krishna. He's under my care and protection, so that, you know, through me, or, you know, whatever capacity I have, I can guide this child back to Krishna. So to that, the extent to which we execute it that way, that much the relationship is spiritual. to extent to which we, you know, do activities or, you know, make child do activities in such a way that he goes away from Krishna, to that extent it becomes material. So then we see wife also in that relation. Okay, wife, it could be like, you know, person's gratification, okay, no, she has to be in very good shape, you know, I can take her to parties and I can show her off, or, you know, all these things. Or, you know, she is actually assisting me in my service to Krishna. You know, she takes care of the home, makes sure that, you know, kids are Krishna conscious, she offers prasadam, you know, she herself makes me Krishna conscious so that she can guide children, and, you know, she is helping me in my Krishna consciousness. Then the relationship will become spiritual, you know, I am here to help you in your path back to Godhead. So there is room for everything in Krishna consciousness, like attachment, even anger has a place, everything except envy, everything else, there is a Krishna conscious application.
So, in terms of anger, so what would be the example there?
Who remembers last time we discussed?
Hanuman.
So Hanuman used anger in the Lord Ram's service by burning the Lanka. Or even Arjuna, right? He has to be angry in order to fight the warriors. Yeah. He wanted to become sadhu, saint, he wanted to go begging. But Krishna is, you know, always stirring him up so that, you know, he can fight. So, first example Krishna is giving is of King Janaka. So, let's read the verse number 20. Solely by performance of prescribed duties. Therefore, just for the sake of educating the people in general, you should perform your work. So here Krishna is giving example of King Janaka. Now he attained perfection by performing his duties, and he is also alluding to the point that, you know, just to guide people, because people like to follow the leader, just to guide the people, you should also perform your work. So let's read the purport to understand, you know, what did King Janaka do. So who is Janaka? Who knows? Sita's father. Sita's father is King Janaka. And he is considered one of the 12 Mahajans. Who knows the 12 Mahajans? There are 12 Mahajans listed in Srimad Bhagavatam. They are like, you know, people whom we have to follow in order to attain perfection. Like I myself, there is a very nice verse. You can refer later. But you know, Janaka is one of them, Bhishmadev is one of them, Brahma is one of them, Shiva, 12 of them, and Narada, Yamaraj is one of them, there are 12 of them. Yes, Prabhu? Yeah, please say, Prabhu. Can you tell the names, Prabhu? Swayambhu is Brahma, that's number one. Narada, Shambhu Shiva, Gol Kumaras, Kapiladev, Manu, Swayambhu Manu, Prahlad Maharaj, Janak Mahajan, Krishna there?
Vyasadeva.
Yeah, Sukadeva Goswami. Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj. Yamaraj, that's good. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. So first one is Brahma, Swayambhu.
15.
12. 4 Kumaras is 1.
Oh, 4.
Okay. This is a very nice verse. That verse. Can you repeat? So among them, one of them is Janaka Maharaj. Right?
Something called Kutu.
Prayers of Prayers. Okay. So we'll read the purport. Okay, Prabhu, you can start reading.
Kings like Janaka were all self-realized souls. Consequently, they had no obligation to perform the prescribed duties in the Vedas. Nonetheless, they performed all prescribed activities, just to set examples for the people in general. Janaka was the father of Sita and father-in-law of Lord Sri Rama. Being a great devotee of the Lord, he was transcendentally situated, but because he was the king of Mithila, a subdivision of Bihar province in India, he had to teach his subjects how to perform prescribed duties.
You can pause there, Prabhu. So here, Srila Prabhupada is saying, first of all, King Janaka is self-realized soul. And the second one, he is also a great devotee of the Lord, right? Being the father of Sita and Lord Rama. So being transcendentally situated, he is not obliged to do any prescribed duties, as we discussed in an earlier section. But still, he does it because he is a king, right? And he wants to set an example for all his subjects. Because if king doesn't follow prescribed duties, then subjects will not follow. Right? So, yeah. And also, he is one of the Mahajans whom we have to follow as well. So, he is setting that example. We can continue. Lord Krishna.
Lord Krishna and Arjuna, the Lord's eternal friend, had no need to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra.
Mm.
But they fought to teach people in general that violence is also necessary in a situation where good arguments fail. Before the battle of Kurukshetra, every effort was made to avoid the war, even by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the other party was determined to fight. So for such a right cause, there is a necessity for fighting. Although one who is situated in Krishna consciousness may not have any interest in the world, he still works to teach the people how to live and how to act. Experienced persons in Krishna consciousness can act in such a way that others will follow, and this is explained in the following verse.
Okay, then Srila Prabhupada is talking about example of Lord Krishna and Arjuna, where actually Arjuna need not fight because he is also pure devotee. He doesn't need to, you know, perform so-called duty of fighting. Kshatriya, one of the duties is to fight and rule a kingdom. So but he being a devotee, he is also not, he doesn't need that actually for his own satisfaction. But for a higher purpose, because Krishna had a purpose in the war, they executed this war. And also Prabhupada is saying that all the peace agreements, they failed. Krishna himself went to the other side, right, to have a negotiation, but that also failed. So in such cases, Krishna wanted to show that, you know, violence is needed. And interestingly enough, one of the Mahajans is Bhishmadev, right? So which side of the army was Bhishmadev? Kaurava side. So what does it trigger anything? Any thought? Like,
he was doing his duty.
So should be.
He was not following his prescribed duty.
His duty was to guard Hastinapur
and serve the king.
No, in the sense of following him in devotional service, right? Somebody may question, right? He's kind of opposed to the Lord, right? And he's fighting with the Lord, or, you know, Lord's devotees. So should we follow that? Yeah. So he is a devotee of Lord, pure devotee of the Lord. But he also executed one purpose of the Lord. Lord wanted to show however powerful, Bhishmadev is actually the most powerful person in the whole army. Lord wanted to show however powerful you are, if you are on the opposite side of Dharma or you know, opposite to Krishna, you are going to lose. So that's the purpose Bhishmadev submitted to. He didn't care about his own credit, you know, whole rest of the people in general are going to scorn him. But he didn't care about his own personal respect or disrespect. He just executed Lord's will.
Did he know that Krishna is
a
Lord?
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah. That's why, you know, Lord also, and at the same time, it doesn't mean that Lord also forgot his devotee, right? That's why Krishna orchestrated the whole arrangement when he passed away. That he himself and the Pandavas, they came, right? And the Vishnu Sahasranamam, everything happened so that Bhishmadev passed away, right, Lord right in front of him. Actually, that is the thing Bhishmadev exemplified, you know, how to pass away from the body at the moment of death. That's what, how to absorb ourselves in the thoughts of the Supreme Lord while leaving the body. That's what Bhishmadev exemplified. If you read that verses in Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see how he is remembering. Bhishmadev is in, who knows that rasa? Which rasa Bhishmadev has? We discussed that. Shivalras. He is in that Shivalras means fighting rasa. So, while passing away, what Bhishmadev remembers is how Krishna caught up that wheel, right? And he was racing. You know the incident by how Krishna hit the chariot wheel? Anybody knows that incident?
It got stuck in the mud.
So, earlier day, you know, Duryodhana, he wanted to trigger Bhishmadev because he knew that Bhishmadev is going to be, he is affectionate towards Pandavas, and maybe, you know, that's why he is not fighting to full of his capacity, and he is not really, you know, fighting the Pandavas and killing them. So he wanted to, stir him up. So he said something to Bhishmadev, you know, what is this? You are not doing your duty. You are fighting our side, but you are being partial. Bhishmadev took a vow. Okay, by end of the day, all the Pandavas will be, you know, I am going to kill all the Pandavas. It's a promise. I have these 5 weapons somebody gave. Yeah, somebody gave, then I am going to use this weapons and I am going to kill them. Then Duryodhana said, you know, something will happen, I know for sure. So I am going to keep the weapons with me. So that night Duryodhana kept. But then Duryodhana earlier, he gave a promise to whom?
Arjuna.
That, you know, whenever you want something, I am going to give you. Because once Arjuna protected him from death. So then Krishna, that night he tells Arjuna, you go to Duryodhana and ask the 5 weapons. So anyway, he comes and he, you know, Duryodhana is being a warrior, but still that time they had a proper conduct. You know, whenever he gave promise, they'll fulfill. So he gives the weapons. So next day, but Bhishmadev's promise is there, right? I'm going to kill. So Bhishmadev seemingly becomes angry, you know, Krishna broke my promise. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to make Krishna break his promise. What is Krishna's promise? That I'm not going to use his weapon. Krishna said, I'm not going to use the weapon if I'm on the side of Pandavas. So then Bhishmadev fought so valiantly, almost, you know, Arjuna almost, he lost everything and he's about to die. He fell down from the chariot and he's about to die. Then obviously Krishna, you know, couldn't see his devotee, right? So he got down from the chariot, he took the chariot wheel as a weapon and he, as a Vishnu Sahasra, Vishnu Chakra, and he's about to attack Bhishmadev. And while coming, there's a very nice picture, like if somebody can look it up, it's very nice. While coming, it's described very beautifully, you know, his yellow chadar is falling down, sweat is coming from his body, you know, and hair is all, like this, and then with such an anger, Krishna is coming to attack Bhishmadev with the chariot wheel in the hand. But all Bhishmadev, he just wants to love to see that form of the Lord, that's all. It's not like, you know, somebody is coming to kill me. He just, because that's his rasa, he wants to fight with Krishna. So he enjoys that rasa. So the moment of death, know, when he is about to pass away, he remembers that moment, that form of Krishna coming with the chariot wheel, trying to attack me, and he focuses his mind on that form of the Lord. Then he passed away his body.
So in the last 72 verses in chapter 2 is Esham Brahmi Kuti Partha Nainam Partha Vinayati Sukas Kutavasin Antakalati Bhagavan Anandam.
That's the Bhagavan. Yeah. Focus. You can
read the translation. That is the way of the spiritual and godly life, after attaining which a man is not even there. If one is situated even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom.
Yeah. So basically focusing our mind on Krishna, the moment of death, then one can enter kingdom of God. No, he just attacked, but he didn't use it. Because
Arjuna then
attacked. Yeah, Krishna told Arjuna that, you know, because Vishnudev left his weapon at that time. Because he is mesmerized by the form of the Lord, then Krishna told Arjuna, okay, fight. Shoot the arrows. Then he was. And Vishnudev had a boon that he will die at his own will. So he chose not to die at that time. But later on, when everything was finished, when Lord and the Pandavas came, that time he left his body. Yeah, generally as a king, I don't know what, Kshatriya, one is Kshatriya's duties,
yes.
As a king, yagyas, they have to perform yagyas, and also as a grihastha, taking care of his wife and children, those are the some duties. Yeah, and mostly these are the prescribed duties given by the Vedas, you know, doing yagyas and fighting, right, protection of the kingdom and the family. Yeah, similarly Krishna also later on says what he did. So another point here is actually how to, you know, another point which illustrates, you know, why this war was inevitable, right? Yudhishthira Maharaj, seemingly, you know, all the Pandavas, everyone, they blamed him for playing the dice game, losing everyone, right? All the brothers were also so angry with him. They were all literally were about to fight him actually. So after he played once, he was leaving. After he played once, again they got everything back for them. I don't know who remembers that. So somebody gave, Dhritarashtra or somebody, they gave everything back. They lost everything once, they got everything back again. They said, okay, it's done, game is done, let's go. So while going again, another messenger comes and says, okay, they are inviting you for another game. And the code of conduct for Kshatriyas is, if somebody invites for a game or a war, they should not refuse. So then Yudhishthira Maharaj, he felt like, you know, there is something, you know, I am just getting caught into this. There is some higher purpose why I am being made to play this game. So I should just submit to this purpose. I should just do this. So for that purpose, actually he surrendered everything. You know, he gave his brothers or, you know, wife and everything. For that particular purpose, for that reason, actually he is such a exalted person and devotee. But all the Pandavas, everybody else mistook him. Because his inner consciousness, nobody understood, you know. Okay, he is just, you know, thinking that we are his servants or subordinates and he is just sending us. No, but actually, that is the, he knew that there is something higher which is meant to happen and I have to just submit to that purpose. And that purpose was that Krishna wanted this war to happen to annihilate all the Kauravas, all the miscreants. So that's where, so the point, whole point was about that Arjuna had to fight because to fulfill that higher purpose. Even though he is not actually needed to fight.
When you are saying Vishnu was following his prescribed duties, but at the time of that game, he didn't stop that dropping incident. So why we are saying he is following his prescribed duties? His prescribed duty is smaller, we discussed, I think, some class back. At that moment, his prescribed duty could be to help Draupadi, not to just follow the king.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
so
why
he didn't follow his prescribed duty.
Yes.
moment.
Yes, that's why he had to face the death in the such a way. So he had to get the reaction for that.
So it means even though he's a part of one of the Mahajan, he didn't follow his strategy for one instance.
So the main thing from Bhishmadev which we have to follow, see, the whole thing is Bhishmadev had a purpose to fulfill.
That part I understand, means from the reverse side I can digest that part, yes. For reverse engineering, yes, everything is all Lord's plan and he did it. But the other way around, when we are saying he followed, that part is like,
so that's why the contradiction about Bhishmadev example is, we cannot literally follow what he did because he stayed opposite to Krishna, right? We cannot be a non-devotee and say I'm following Bhishmadev. What we have to follow in Bhishmadev is how to absorb oneself in the thoughts of the Lord at the moment of death. And all throughout the while, he remained a pure devotee of the Lord internally. Externally, he was doing something else. So what he did, we cannot do. But what we have taught is like, you know, that mood of being a pure devotee of the Lord, that's what we have to follow from and learn from Bhishmadev. So in that action of being pure devotee, he did mistakes. That's all because of, again, higher purpose. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yes, correct. Exactly. So for pure devotees, as Mataji is saying, they are completely, it's like as if puppets. They are being acted by the Lord. Somebody was saying, you know, if you notice Prabhupada, you know, walking or talking or something, you see that he is very, very transcendental, you know, the way he moves his hand. It's not like, you know, an ordinary person doing it. It's as if, you know, it's completely absorbed in Krishna service.
Maybe that's the contradiction here. Bhishmadev took the pratigya, his vow, to make sure that his father is happy.
Father?
His father marries the woman he wants. He does it for that. So he does it for a pure emotional reason and to make sure his father is happy.
Which promise? Some other promise.
Yeah, he makes a promise that he won't marry,
yes,
and he will protect the kingdom forever until he lives. For that, and that's how he gets the boon of eternal life. But in this case, wouldn't his duty have been to be a just king for his subjects and rule his kingdom, like, instead of making his father happy? What was his? And on one hand, we say that Krishna conscious people, it doesn't matter. He was truly Krishna conscious, and then his duty was to then also to rule and give or maybe a just king.
He was a prince.
He was a prince. So his duty would have been like, his
Prabhuji, his mother was king, right? So he wanted to make sure his ship to rule the kingdom.
So
the father relationship with another relationship is king, right?
Yeah, but he would have been the better ruler.
So,
I saw
the
so we are being curious. So this is another thing which we should pitfall, which try to avoid. It's like, you know, first of all, at least theoretically, we know they are Mahajans, right? They are, people whom we have to follow. So we cannot say, you know, instead of this, he should have done that. They know perfectly, you know, what to do, when to do, and how to do. Right? They are pure devotees of the Lord. At least theoretically, we should accept. Other thing is, maybe we may not know what is the reason, you know, why they do it that way. That's, at least we can accept that. I also don't know, so I cannot answer that. So we can, with that understanding, we can move further instead of getting stuck like that, you know. So
I wanted to ask one question about the bigger purpose of communication, that Lord Krishna wanted all the parts to be
created.
Why was that?
I mean,
not all
of those. Most of them are yeah, except Vikarna, I think. I mean, because he moved to the other side, everybody else was killed. But actually, being killed in the war, they got liberation. That's Lord's benediction again.
And then we reached the stage of the war because all the good arguments played, as
yes,
the negotiations played. So had they been successful, these guys were still evil. Had they been successful, then they would have been saved.
Yeah. But they themselves.
But it was, the scheme was created in a way that it never succeeded, the negotiation never.
Yeah. Krishna knew that, you know, I'm going to go as a messenger, but he knew that they are not going to agree. But he still had to do. Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, Krishna would have done something else to annihilate them, you know. Some forest fire would have been enough. Right?
So that is the saying, it says, Vinasha Kala Viparita Buddhi. So
yeah.
The mind doesn't work in a time of destruction.
Correct. Okay. So then, the conclusion to us is that, so we talked about King Janaka and then Arjuna. So why the war, the higher purpose, Yudhishthira Maharaj also, you know, submitted to the higher purpose. And now, applying to us, Srila Prabhupada is saying that last four lines, although one who is situated in Krishna consciousness may not have any interest in the world, he still works to teach the public how to live and how to act. So actually, we are not even situated in Krishna consciousness, so it's not for us. But eventually, when we become situated in Krishna consciousness, still, you know, we cannot say, no, I don't have to do anything in this world. We can still be here just to teach an example to others. As I was mentioning earlier, right, Grihasthas have an important role in the society. Grihasthas have to show, you know, how by taking care of family and children and, you know, work and everything, still one can remain Krishna conscious or, you know, try to become Krishna conscious. That example everybody is looking for in the society. And experienced persons in Krishna consciousness can act in such a way that others will follow. Like for example, like sannyasis, right? Sometimes we feel, oh, there's so many things to do, you know, I don't have time to chant 16 rounds. But if you look at their lives, how busy they are, you know, GBC duties, temple president duties, and so many people come for consultation, and so many emails, there's so many things, right? Still they chant 16 rounds, still they read so much, still they give lectures and discuss so much time. So then we can understand, you know, if you become pure, actually we can do more service. Yeah.
If there is funding everything and everyday classes.
Day by day, you see, his activities are increasing only. Yeah. It's not reducing, right? So, yeah, because they are so pure, they have such an intense desire to serve Krishna. That's where it stems from. It's not that I can do so many things. It's about I want to serve Krishna more and more. So then Krishna gives the ability to do. So we don't have the desire, so automatically we limit ourselves. No, I can do only this much. I can chant only few two rounds. That's all, you know. It's too much. Which Krishna consciousness work?
Praying sometimes. I can start fearing one to pray.
Yeah. Yeah, so we can start like a duty first, and then slowly it will become love, appreciation. Eventually, you know, we want to do because we want to please the Lord, and slowly it will become more purified. Yeah, initially fear is okay, but Lord would like us to be us to approach Him through love rather than fear. He also likes it that way. So then another connection to the next verse is that, so Krishna talked about, you know, importance of setting an example, right? So then somebody is telling Arjuna, actually, you know, Arjuna, if you, Arjuna is saying, you know, I'm going to leave this battle, I'm going to go to the forest and live by begging. So somebody immature may say, you know, I'm going to follow this example of Arjuna. He is my role model. I'm going to give up my family. I'm going to go to the forest and begging. So the people will follow that example. So then Krishna, his next verse is going to say, you know, what is the important, how important it is to set a right example. Why is it important as leaders to set an example? Yeah, this is one of the memorization verses. We can recite, I can know the meter. Yad yad acharati shreshtas tat tat eveta rajano. Sayat pramanam kurute lokastas anuvartate yadyat acharati shreshtas tat tat eveta rajano. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So here Krishna is saying, no, what's an important, how important it is to set a right example. Because whole world will follow. Especially if you are a great man like Arjuna, whole common men will follow. So we'll read the purport. So in the purport, if you note, we'll again list also. Srila Prabhupada is going to talk about qualifications of an ideal teacher. We'll list few points, but you can write as a heading if you want. Qualifications of an ideal teacher. You know, what are things he has to do? While reading, we'll read the purport once and then I will list the points, which are bullet, nothing but bulleting from the purport. If you want to read purport,
People in general always require a leader who can teach the public by practical behavior. A leader cannot teach the public to stop smoking if he himself smokes.
Okay, we can pause there. So basically it's teaching by example, right? Leader himself smokes, he cannot say, you know, stop smoking. So who remembers one incident about sweets? One past time, right? Sadhu and sweets. Who knows the story? We discussed that once.
Mahatma Gandhi also likes sweets or something.
No, not one. Some sadhu. We discussed that, right?
But
one mother, one child, he wanted to eat, stop sweets.
Stop sweets, so she could see the went to the sadhu. Sadhu said, come after 1 week. And he came after. Why 1 week later you are telling him? Because I myself was eating sweets.
Okay.
I think it was Ramakrishna.
Oh, I don't know. Okay, I heard it like this. Yeah. So, you know, he was a very genuine teacher. He said, okay, I will stop eating sweets first and then I will tell the child. Then there is an effect.
Yeah.
Right? There is, if we don't follow, even though we may seemingly say, quote, Shastras, like, you know, I may be saying so many things which I myself, that's why I sometimes, you know, realize and I say, you know, I'm saying to myself many times. So, you know, the potency will not be there. If we don't follow, words may be there because it's Shastra, you know, the words are there. But the potency will not touch the people's hearts. It will not inspire them to follow.
I think the same thing with children. Like if you tell them like, hey, don't talk while eating or, or you know, don't play here. And you know, one example in my house was we used to read newspaper while drinking tea in the dining table. And there's a rule in the house that no eating, in the, no reading books while you're eating. But the next day my son is actually reading his book and he's also and I tell him, hey, what are you doing? Like, Papa, you read your newspaper. Why can't I do this? That was a good lesson for me. I have to stop. Whatever you do, they do. So.
Very nice. I was just about to come to the discussion. Like, very nice you started. We'll come to the discussion. We'll talk about that going around the house. You know, what are some examples we learn from our kids? Yeah, we can continue the problem.
Lord Chaitanya said that a teacher should behave properly before he begins teaching. One who teaches in that way is called Acharya or the ideal teacher. Therefore, a teacher must follow the principles of Shastra, scripture, to teach the common man. The teacher cannot manufacture rules against the principles of revealed scriptures. The revealed scriptures like Manu Samhita and similar others are considered the standard books to be followed by human society. Thus, the leader's teaching should be based on the principles of such standard shastras. One who desires to improve himself must follow the standard rules as they are practiced by the great teachers. The Srimad Bhagavatam also affirms that one should follow in the footsteps of great devotees, and that is the way of progress on the path of spiritual realization. The king or the executive head of state, the father and the school teacher are all considered to be natural leaders of the innocent people in general. All such natural leaders have great responsibility to their dependents. Therefore, they must be conversant with the standard books of moral and cultural things.
So here, Srila Prabhupada is elaborating so many qualifications as a teacher, right? Or, you know, a person who has dependents, whom we have to guide. So first is, we can actually relate to all of this because we are also a teacher or we are acting in that role in some way or the other, as probably saying as father, mother, you know, we have a great responsibility for our dependents. They are going to look up to us. as Prabhu nicely said, you know, he cannot say something which we don't follow. They are so quick, so smart to pick it up. And they will, when they start talking, they will say. So we can read this in that mode, right? You know, what all things as a father or a mother I have to do. So let's see what are the points, right? First point Srila Prabhupada is saying is, this is the third line from the purport. Teacher should behave properly before he begins teaching, right? So basically he should be teaching by his example. That's the first point. And the second point Srila Prabhupada is saying is, he has to follow the principles of the Shastras to teach the common man, or you know, for even for kids also. We have to follow the principles of Shastras or scriptures. And the third point is that, you know, he cannot manufacture anything against the scriptures. So, you know, I cannot concoct something, you know, this is said in Bhagavad Gita or said in some scripture which I don't know. I cannot manufacture principles against the scriptures. Third point has two points. Another sub point is, it means that leaders' teaching should be based on Shastras. Essentially, he should be completely abiding to the Shastras, and he cannot do something which is against the Shastras. He cannot concoct something against. The last point is, he should be conversant with the standard books of moral and spiritual codes. That means Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. That's in the last line of the book.
Third, you said, cannot manufacture against the scriptures.
Other one is, he should be, his teaching should be based on scriptures. Both are same, but one is, you know, fall, do it, and other one is, don't do it.
Last
one is, he should be conversant with the standard books, like, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So now as father or mother, if you read through it properly, right, just one by one. So we should teach by example. So, you know, whatever first, you know, parents, if we want children to cultivate something, first we should practice it for a few days, or, you know, in such a way that we will continue practicing, and then we should start teaching them. So we can teach by example. The next one is, what was the next one?
Follow
the principles of Shastra. So we also know, you know, what things we have to follow in Krishna consciousness. No meat eating, all these insects, no smoking, we can't sit with your kids are sleeping, so let me do something. No, we cannot do all those things. We should follow the principles of scriptures and the principles of devotional service. Then next one is following the scriptures. We cannot concoct something in the scriptures. And most importantly, we should be conversant with scriptures. So, you know, we are reading Bhagavad Gita seriously. So, you know, eventually we should read Srimad Bhagavatam. So, we know what the scriptures say. So we can mold our life according to the scriptures. So if we don't know, what will we do?
By the time you read this book,
by the time we do this class, it will take. But you know, we have so much time in the day. We can read. One day is enough to read Bhagavad Gita. So, yeah. So that's a responsibility we have. So we should be conversant with the books. So we can teach them. You know, we can teach them what is there in Bhagavad Gita.
What is Manusamhita?
Yeah, one of the. It's actually mainly it's about, you know, how to lead the life. There are many rules about these things in that Manusamhita.
What is it? What about the rules that are going to come in the future? Please, we don't have to follow them.
Bhagavad Gita?
Or even Bhagavad. We haven't read it yet. So
yes.
We don't know those rules, so we don't have to follow them.
Actually, ignorance is, Prabhupada said, ignorance is not an excuse. Yeah.
Even here, even for these laws also,
yeah,
you cannot say that I'm not, because they're in the judgment provisions.
Exactly.
Also,
you know, Prabhupada gave an example, like I drive in India, the other side, right?
Yeah.
And I come suddenly to US and drive the same side saying, you know, oh, I don't know this, you know, I don't know this rule. That's not an excuse. So ignorance is not an excuse. Yeah, that's how, you know, that's a mistake, right? Our parents, they didn't know themselves. So they gave us something which is not even beneficial, right? Like eating meat. Somehow the other, we are in such families, and from childhood we are accustomed to eating meat, you know, because they themselves didn't know what is right. So then, you know, children have to suffer. So that's why, you know, it brought it in. To some extent, at least we know, you know, black and white, which is good, which is bad right now. But there are more details, right? So many details, so many things, which is good, which is bad. So without knowing, how can we teach the kids? Yeah, I wanted to have a discussion, like, you know, we can just share some points of such incidents, like where, you know, we wanted to teach kids something and then they got back saying, you know, you didn't do it, or, you know, where they looked up and said, you know, like, Amma, you're doing it, I want to do it. Some positives, some negatives, so we'll have some discussion.
I have something similar. Previously, when I was here, my son was like around 4 or 5 years old, I used to take books to the bathroom. One day my son said, Daddy, you keep saying that books are substitutes. No, that's when you have to, and then you are taking it to such a nasty place. That was the end of it. After that, I have never taken that book. But he asked correctly. You said it is Saraswati, then you are taking it to the body. What respect you have.
Very nice. Okay. Very good. Any more things, Fatih, you want to share? You are learning from your kids now.
I think, like, if we get frustrated or cranky on them for mistakes we fish out on them, I feel I always kick it back, which makes it worse. And then I tell them, no, you should not shout, you should be calm. They're like, why are you shouting? That's the most tricky situation where I have to control my temper to show them, you know, how to behave ideally, which I'm still learning.
Oh, very nice, very nice. That's for me also, yeah.
This I heard many times.
Oh.
Like mama is shouting or you are shouting. Yeah. He's just comparing. Even though he's not involved in the discussion, he will come and point out. Because I'm always teaching him don't shout because he sometimes shouts.
Oh my god.
So he's like a judge. Okay, don't shout.
Yeah.
So
Mataji,
want to
say something?
He used to do like before, he used to like sleep in the bag, chanting that, but properly, you know, I have to be chanting.
Because I have to face so many things in life. Oh my god. That's good, yeah. Anybody wants to share, Mataji? Mataji, want to share something?
Same point.
So actually, yeah, that's what kids will grow up to become, our spiritual masters. You know, they will guide us. Because, you know, if we want to give them Krishna consciousness, then they will teach us how to become Krishna conscious. So, you know, we can guide them. It's a great responsibility as parents.
Yeah.
now you are doing devotional service, right? So that's what they call it. Okay. We just have 10 minutes, okay? I don't think we cover the next verse. Yeah, next is actually three verses are connected together. So we'll just maybe briefly. So next example Krishna is going to cover is about, who is the second example? You can read the verse and then yes.
Krishna.
About himself. Krishna talks about, so one example is Janak Maharaj. Next Krishna is going to talk about himself, like why he doesn't have any work but still he does his duties. If you just read the translation, O son of Pritha, there is no work prescribed for me within the three planetary systems. Nor am I in want of anything, nor have I a need to obtain anything, and yet I am engaged in prescribed duties.
But this always confuses me. He really doesn't do prescribed duties as a
person.
Right. Does he? Maybe he does sometimes, but not all the times.
He did all the duties to most of the.
After he leaves Vrindavan, the Gokula.
Yeah.
But before,
before that, he was as a son of Vaishya family, right? Their main duty is to take care of cows. So from the childhood, he's a cowherd man, right? He loved cows. He used to take them for grazing. Somebody may think, "Your supreme lord, why is he, you know, doing such a menial?"
No, Brahma thought that what he wanted.
Yeah.
So Brahma can think.
Yeah.
No,
so.
What I'm saying,
got confused. Yeah, because you're following one of Mahajan's Bhamma, right? Okay. Yeah, so that, like that, he did follow the prescribed duties while in Gokul. And later on, you know, many, I was listening to one lecture,
student,
like.
He's done his duty as a student to his teacher. He got back his dead son from Bengal. As a friend, he did his duty to Sudama even before asking him to his son. To his devotees, all through, he has protected them. He was sitting somewhere in this thing, he protected Draupadi. The list is endless to do. He is more than.
Yeah, and also as a grihastha, right? As a married man, he took care of his wives. You know, each of them have individual palace, 16,000 wives. In one lecture, Prabhupada was joking, saying it's not that each wife has to wait 16,000 days in order to have, you know, time with Krishna. He expanded himself 16,000 times, so everybody gets individual attention. And you know, care.
He
spent time with his children and grandchildren like a, you know, normal householder. And he used to get up in the morning and do meditation. Do you know, can anybody guess whom he is meditating on? Himself.
Right.
Himself. So he used to meditate on himself because he is a Supreme Lord. So,
no,
you mean why not more or?
No,
yeah, because see, there is one pastime why such a particular number, but otherwise it's just his opulence, just to show that, you know, I'm Supreme Lord. That's one of his, because many people come to imitate him, right? No, I want to be Krishna. I want to, you know, do whatever Krishna does. But then Prabhupada says always, you know, can you? You can't even take care of one wife. How can you take care of so many wives? So. Yeah.
I was trying to understand what they were.
Yeah, there was a pastime. These are all gopis who wanted to have. Sorry. Yeah, they stole these things. Yeah, things. Yeah. So he got us past time. So there are 16,000 queens. Narakasura kidnapped them and put them under his care, whatever, this imprisonment for some time. Radha Krishna Akil Narkasura, then that time the culture is if woman is there in other person's place or something, nobody else marries him, marries them. So then they said, you know, that is external reason. Internal reason, they wanted to be Krishna's wives. So they told Krishna, no, you only marry us. So then Krishna married all of them.
But before there were queens of some other kings?
No, no, no. They were princesses. And also actually they were more internal reason is they were gopis. In Vrindavan, gopis don't marry Krishna. But they had a desire to marry Krishna. So they expanded themselves as queens so they can marry Krishna. That's even more esoteric reason. Here it means it's from the world, like, you know, the way we want it. I want food, I want money, I want beauty, right? Those things, material things, Krishna is saying, I don't need those material things. Because one of the reasons for prescribed duties was that, what was that? We do prescribed duties to please demigods, to get all the material supplies, right? So we can live happily. So Krishna here is saying, I don't want those things, I don't need those things. Because he is self-satisfied. So the thing is, like, because if you see the connection earlier, Krishna said, right, self-realized souls don't need to do prescribed duties. So it's very obvious that if Krishna, who, by obtaining whom the self-realized souls are so satisfied, he himself will not need to do anything else. Will not need to do prescribed duties. Got it? Pure devotees, self-realized souls, obtain Krishna and become fully satisfied, and they are not obliged to do Vedic duties. Because they are transcendental, fully satisfied, and they don't need anything from the world. If that is the true, then what to speak of Krishna himself? What does he need from this world? Just by his will, everything happens. He doesn't even need, see, we have, if we want something, we have to do, right? With the hands, legs, mind, we have to do something. Krishna doesn't have to do, he desires, just with his desire, everything happens. All material creation, annihilation and maintenance happens just by his will. He doesn't have to come and, you know, put things together. That Brahma is the constructor, you know, the engineer. And all his energy is due for it. He is that omnipotent, omniscient Lord. So we'll continue, you know, how he says, I'm still engaged in his duties, and later on he says, you know, if he doesn't do duties, what happens? That's like the three verses together. I thought initially, you know, we'll cover that section, I think we didn't. We'll cover that in the next class. Any questions or comments or discussion?
Snow and rain.
We'll be going out for now.
Okay.
Hare Krishna.